Today's daf is daf nun beis. We got to pretty far down, like eight lines down. The two dots. The Gemara says mina katan yaselo segula. So the Gemara had been discussing if a person was given a pikadon to watch, and it wasn't sure if he got it from the wife or the wife took it from the husband. But if a katan gave you a pikadon, so you should be concerned that maybe it's not his. So, but the problem is once you have it, so then you can't return it to him. Because we're afraid that he might lose it, and he doesn't know how to protect it. So Gemara said, "You yaselo segula, you give him some segula." So what exactly is a segula? So Gemara answers, asks first, "My segula," and Rav Chista Amar Sefer Torah. It's referring to a Sefer Torah. That's a segula. It's something that Rashi says is a lilmod bo. The Rashbam rather says three wide lines. It's he could learn from it, and that's going to be considered his peros. The Hakaren Kayim and the Sefer Torah itself is going to last. There's a discussion in the Rishonim. Does it mean a Sefer Torah only, or what about other Svarim? What about a Sifrei Nevi'im and Ksuvim? What about just Svarim themselves? Gemaras, obviously Gemaras didn't exist back then like they do now. But does it only mean, so the Ritva writes, it means Tuadin Shar Svarim, Lav Dafka Sefer Torah. Anything else he could learn from, it's going to last. But the Chassam Sofer argues and says, no, this only means a Sefer Torah, because a Sefer Torah cannot be sold. The Gemara Mishnah tells us in Megillah. Other svarim can be sold, so it won't necessarily be miskayim, and therefore he says dafka a sefer Torah. That's what the Chassam Sofer says. Okay, so then the Gemara says, but Rabba bar Rav Huna Amar Dikla da'achal minei tamri. He thinks no, you should buy him a date tree so he could really eat from the dates. The date tree is going to produce a number of dates over the next number of years, so that will be his peros, and the keren, the date tree itself, will last for a long time. That's a machlok, is what a segula is. So Gemara now quotes from the mission of Lo La'av B'nichse HaBen V'lo L'Ben B'nichse HaAv, that a father cannot create a chazak on his son's land and vice versa either, because the halacha is that a father doesn't care if his son's eating on his property, and his son doesn't care if his father is eating on his property. So since there's no potential for a macha, so if there's no macha, that means there can't be a chazak. So Amar Rav Yosef Afilu Chelko, even if they divide, even if the son becomes independent, Rashbam says four wide lines down, Afil Chelko Nifrda Nispardu Ha'av V'Aben. They separate, they take their own take their own routes in life, and Shein Haben Samach Al Shulchan Aviv, the son is no longer dependent on his father. Vein Haben B'Nichse Aviv Klum, he has no ownership, he doesn't take part in it. Afil Hachi Ein Machzikin Zeh Al Zeh De L'Kapti Ha'Dadir. You can't create a chazaka because they're not machped, even if the son's independent. But Rava comes along in the Gemara, Amar Chelku Lo. If they do separate, so then this halacha doesn't apply, meaning you can create a chazaka. So if the son, you know, marries and moves out and comes back and starts eating from his father's land for the next 3 years, and he says, I bought it from my father, then that would be considered a good chazaka. So Amar Rav Yirmiyah Medifti Avid Rav Papi Uvda. There's one to Maisa Rav Papa was involved with. And Chelka Lo, he says, Chelka, if they split up Lo, that the Misha doesn't apply, meaning that you, the son or father can kava chazaka like Rav. That's how he paskined. So Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Ishtai Li Rav Chia Mehurmez Aradashti. That's part of his name where he comes from. Dishtayalei Rav Acha Bar Yaakov Mishmei Rav Nachman Bar Yaakov. A whole train of events here. People telling one person to the next that what was the halacha? Chel Kulo. If they divide, the Mishnah doesn't apply, meaning in the positive that the father can have a chazaka on the son and a son can have a chazaka on the father. Hilcha, so what's the bottom line? Chilku lo. If the son becomes independent, so then the halacha of the Mishnah doesn't apply, whereby the son can generate a chazaka on the father and the father on the son. And Tana Nami Hachi, the Braisa says the same thing. Ben Shechalak V'Ishto Shiniskarisha, if they become independent, whether financially independent or the wife gets divorced, Harehein Kishar Kol Adam, and you can create a chazaka. There's a machlokas in Rishonim. What about two brothers? So you have going to have the same din with two brothers. Two brothers, are you going to say they're not makbid on each other or not? So the Adarma writes that by brothers it doesn't take place. The brother is makbid on the other brother. And even if the one brother is dependent on his older brother, let's say, so and then he starts eating it for 3 years and claims he has a chazaka, so then there would be a chazaka. A brother can have a chazaka on another brother because the brothers are makbid on each other. Very different than a father and a son. But the Rif quotes others that argue and say, no, brothers as well get along very nicely, and the brothers allow each other to eat on the property, so you cannot generate a chazaka. So that's the machlokas that's found in the Rishonim. Sounds like a machlokas in just what how we view a relationship of two brothers. Yeah. Okay. Gemara now says Itmar. One of the brothers is, the older brother is very much involved in the business of the father. And Vahayu Onos Vishtaros, and in the father's house there were these different documents, and Ona Rashi says is Shtar Mechira, and Shtaros is referring to documents of loan. And Yotan Al Shmo, and the names had his the son's name, the son who was very involved, let's call him the oldest son who was involved with helping the business. All the documents had his name underneath his father's name, let's say, or maybe just his name alone even. And now, Marshalihim, he says, they're mine. I guess the father's name wasn't on it. It was only his name. And he says that Shanaflu Limi Beis Avi Ima. They came from my mother's father's, my grandfather's house. And referring to other brothers there who shared the same father, but they had different mothers. So he says, this was not our father's documents. This is money I had from my grandfather, from my mother. And you guys have no shaykhs to this. So that's his claim. So Amar Rav, Alav Lahavi Raya. He has to bring a proof that this is really true. Even though the document says that this is his, we need a greater proof to tell us that this is in fact his. And Rashbam rather explains some of the svar here, that even though if you look at Rashbam around 10 wide lines down in the middle of the line, Alav Lahavi Raya, Shamamon Shalav, that this brother needs to bring a proof that this is his, Ziafal Pishak Suvim Hasharas Bishmo, even though the documents clearly say that his in his name, the Chevan Shayahu Levado, since he was the only one involved in these various business dealings and these documents, so then there's no way to know. We really don't know. That the other sons are very vulnerable. They don't know what was going on. They don't know what he may have forged and what's true, what's not true. He knew about his father's business dealings, and maybe he wrote his fake documents. So even though the document says it, he has an unfair advantage. So he has to bring proof according to Rav. Even though it goes against everything else that we know, that a shtar is really the final proof, this is a exception. But Shmuel argues back to the Gemara, and Shmuel Amar, Al Ha'achin, Lavi Raya, no, a shtar is a shtar. And okay, granted this oldest son had more to do with the father's business and may know about sales and loans and may have forged it. Lemaisa, if we don't accept the shtar, it pretty much undermines the whole idea of shtars in general. A shtar is a shtar and we trust him. And therefore, it's the brother's responsibility to bring a raya to disprove him. Fine, so that's the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. There is a debate about within Rav, that what about Metaltlim? Rav says that the older brother has to bring a proof that this is his. Would he say the same halacha by metaltlin? So some rishonim say metaltlin, the klal is whatever you're holding. By me holding this phone, that's proof that this is mine. So therefore, there's no need for anything further. While others think that Rav argues, even when it comes to metaltlin, any metaltlin that he claims is his, he needs to bring a proof that this is actually his and he didn't take it from the father who passed away. So machlokas Rav and Shmuel is the burden of proof on the older brother, or is a burden of proof, as Shmuel says, on the other brothers, because there's a shtar. So the Gemara says now, Amar Shmuel, Shmuel comes along and says, Mo de li Abba, Abba agrees to me. Now Abba, Rashbam says, refers to Rav. Rav is referred to Abba as well. So, Mo de li Abba, Abba admits to me, Shim meis al ha'achin lahavi raya. If this older brother dies, and now they're Yisomim who are inheriting from their father, who's the older brother, so then the brothers would have to bring a raya. Now, even though in general Rav felt that the older brother needs to bring a raya that it's his, if that older brother dies and it goes on to the Yisomim, then that burden of proof passes over to the other brothers. And the reason is because if you look at the Rashbam, that the She'im Meis, it's around 15 lines up from the bottom, the last four words, She'im Meis, V'yeshlo Banim. Now, the older son dies, and older brother dies, now he leaves over children to the Banim L'Yorsho. Al ha'achin l'havi raya. It's the brother's responsibility to bring the proof. Why? T'cheven d'yasmi l'abnei isu yiraya ninhu. Since the Yisomim are not in that parsha bringing proofs, v'enin yodin l'chapei z'chuson, they have no idea what their father was involved in. So now they're really going to be at a disadvantage. So therefore, we can rely on the shtar, that the shtar is really that the property is really their father's. And then it's the other brothers in this circumstance that have to bring the proof against it. Okay, the Gemara now says, last three lines. Maskif la Rapapa. Rapapa asks the following question. Klum taninin luhu liyosme mide delo taninin luhavuan? Do we ever give are we ever toin taninan for the Yisomim if the father The father is not telling this. So how could this be the case? The father himself needs to bring a raya. But now, when the father dies, the children don't have to bring a raya? But don't we have a case of a ha rava? Rava said, apik zuga de sarbala, which referring to some type of scissors, and safra dagadata, which is a swarm of stories. I'm not sure if it means the stories in general, or maybe stories of the Gemara Gadata. But miyasme. So a guy was trying to bring, take out these documents and articles of clothing and scissors from the yasme, but lo raya, without a proof. So how was he allowed to do this? So it must be a case bidvarm hasurin lahashul lahaschir. When it comes to certain items that are normally borrowed and rented out, so that's the case you're referring to. Before we turn the page, just look at the Rashbam here to explain really what's going on here. Rashbam says the last three lines below raya. Habaylim shayu lahem edim shein shalahem. So the Bailam said that these scissors and these storybooks are ours. And they're trying to bin ha-yotziyam min ha-yisomim below raya. They're trying to bring it out from the, take it out, remove it from the possession of yisomim without a raya. V'edim she'idu she'shilul avim she'yisomim. L'fi, so they had no proof. They had no witnesses that this was theirs. L'fi she'hein osuyin l'hashu l'hashu. These are items that books, libraries lend out books all the time. The neighbors lend out books all the time. Shem amar avien l'kuchen heim biyadi. Alav l'havi raya. If the father says, no, I bought them from you, well, the father has to bring proof. You can't say you bought a rental car that says Hertz on it. You can't say that you bought it unless you bring a proof that you bought it. That's something that gets rented out. So, af ha-yisomim, aleim lavi raya, shilachan avin min abaylim. So, to the yisomim, should not be off the hook. These are items that are normally rented out and borrowed. And therefore, the yisomim have to bring a proof that their father, in fact, bought it. And v'chevin de leslu raya mehechzirim rava lebailim. So since the Yisomim had no proof, Rava made the Yisomim return it back to the owners. Lo nomar kam, we don't say, shemesa av alabailim lehavi raya. We don't say just because their father dies, now the Yisomim get to keep everything. It means when a father dies, all books that were on loan and anything else that gets rented out, Yisomim get to keep now? Doesn't make any sense. And the Gemara says further, on the top of Nun Bezim Abez, kiddush shalach Rav Huna, just like Rav Huna bar Avin sent, dvarm ha'asurin l'hashil l'haskir, items that are normally borrowed and rented, v'amar l'kuchin heim b'yadi eino ne'man, you don't believe the guy until he brings the proof. So the Gemara ends off as a kasha. You're right, there's a kasha. So when Shmuel, although Shmuel initially had said that if the father dies, these children get to keep it until the other people bring a raya, this brisa, not really brisa, this statement of Rava clearly goes against it, and the Gemara leaves off as a kasha and doesn't give a psak what to do in dealing with these types of items that are normally rented out and lent. Now there's a small debate here. How do you define a object that's normally lahashil, asuin lahashil, lahaschir? So Rambam says something that's the whole use of it is rented out, like big kalim, big pots that are used to be rented out by caterers or hotels. That's something that's, the whole tachlis is to rent them out. But things that can be lent out, but are not normally rented out, that doesn't count. But other Rishonim argue and say any item that, in theory, can be lent out, that would qualify, even though it's not normally lent out, but it's right to be lent and rented, that would qualify. So let's say, what's a good example of something that's rented or lent to your neighbor? A regular pot. My neighbor might need an extra pot, so I'll lend my pot. Even though a small pot doesn't get rented out because it just doesn't, it's not used that way. If it's right to be lent out, then that would qualify. As opposed to my pillow, I wouldn't lend my pillow out to my neighbor. So that's something that's not qualifying for lasuin lahashul lahaschir. So the debate is it something that is exclusively lent and rented out, or even things that are that can be borrowed and rented. Either way, we have the machlokas here in Akashia. What happens here in the situation of when the father dies, do the Yisomim still have to bring a raya that their father brought it, or it passes over to the brothers? Okay, the Gemara now says on the top of Nun Beis and Beis, three lines down in the two dots. Amar Rav Chista. Lo Shanu, this is only true. El Dein Chalukin Bisasan. What's not true? The halacha that Rav holds, Rashbam explains here. When Rav says that the older brother claims all the property is mine, and therefore, even though he has a shtar, a love lahavi raya, that older brother needs to bring a proof. This is only the case, it says Rav Chista, lo shanu ella dein chalukin b'sasam, where they never divided. Rashbam says ella shein chalukin b'shum davar be'olam afilu b'sasam. They never divide anything in the world. Everything that they have, they haven't yet done any split in the Yerusha yet. Everything is still equally owned by all the brothers. How could this brother, referring to, I guess, whereas the brothers were known to not have independent businesses, where all the brothers were relying on the father, and the father died, and then one brother comes down and says, oh, these are all my properties, this property and that property, all my name, you see here? And everyone's wondering, where in the world did you get that money from? You were living at home all this time. You never had a job. So that's the only time where we're concerned that the brother has to bring a proof that the documents and properties are really his. Aval says that Rav Chista, Chalukin b'sasan, if they divided, even if they only divided it with a piece of dough. So let's start with the dough here. Before it goes bad, let's split the dough up. Even if they split there, then Amar m'sasa kimitz, then we say it's very possible that this older brother did have, he was able to gather up enough money, muster up enough money in order to buy something. So then he would not have to bring a raya since the shtar says his name. So it's a very strange case. Lamaisa, I don't know how that works out, but look at the Rashbam. He says, kimetz. Kimetz means to gather. Atzran v'yoser, and v'lchach nis asher. He became wealthy from collecting a couple pieces of dough. He maybe sold the dough for a few cents. He invested into something else, sold that for a little bit more, and slowly built up a business. V'yela mamon levado, shein l'achiv chelek ba. And me'ha mamon ha'hu lokach karkals v'hil v'lachir. So I'm not sure if it's referring to where they divided the dough at the time of death, because otherwise he wouldn't have time to build up such a business. But it must have been at some point in life, the father said, take this dough and you guys could have the dough. And the other boys decided to eat the dough and bake it. And the one boy decided he was an entrepreneur. He said, I'm going to sell the dough to the neighbors for a few cents. And then he built up a business that way, a very private business. In that case, we're concerned that maybe Hitaka does have property and does have loans out there, and his shtar proves him. And it would be the brother's responsibility to prove otherwise. Okay. Gwar now asks, Raya Bimai. What's this Raya? So the Rashbam explains what the question is here. Look at the Rashbam around seven narrow lines up. Raya Be'edim. Go back further up. 10 lines up. Raya Be'mai. Adirav Koi. Shalacha Kamos. We paskin like Rav. So you want to know, what Raya are you trying to bring? Because the Adashmuel. Hechi Amar of Sheshis. Raya. Okay, we haven't seen the Gemara yet. So either way, we're referring to Rav, where Rav says that the brother has to bring a raya that it's his. What type of raya could the older brother possibly bring? So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Rab Amar, raya be'edim. You bring edim. If you have edim to say that the Rashi says, the Rashbam says, raya be'edim al bal hashtar, lavi raya, demi saso kimitz, o mi'avi imo yara. She has to bring proof either that he had collected money from some dough and built up a business, or he could bring a raya that he inherited this from his maternal grandfather. Vahaya mamon shel sharos halalu shalo. That's the proof he has to bring, if you have edim. Or, says the Gemara of Sheshes Amar, raya b'kimashtar. So if you have proof that the shtar was really approved by Bezdin, that would also qualify, and that would be a proof for him. So comes along Amar Le Rava. Rava says to Rav Nachman, Ha Rav HaShmuel. This is Machlokas Rav and Shmuel. Does the brother, older brother, have to bring Raya, or the other brothers have to bring a Raya? Further, we have a Machlokas Ha Rava HaRav Sheshes. Which type of Raya to bring? Is it with Edim, or is it with Kim Sharos? So Rava wants to know from Rav Nachman, Kiman Sfirle, how to be Paskin. So he says, Amrlai Anamas Nisi Yodan, I know I'm familiar with the Braisa. The Tani, the Braisa tells us that Echad Min Ha'achim Shayanosin Vinosin Besocha Bayis. So one of the brothers, the older brother, let's assume, was very much involved in all the doings of the house. Vaya Onos Visharos Yotzin Al Shemo, and when the father died, he had shown documents of sale and loan that were in his name. And Amar Shalihain, he says, they were mine. Shenafluli Mibeis Aviimi, that I got from my maternal grandfather. So Allah v'lohavi raya, says the Braisa, very clearly in accordance with Rav, that brother must bring proof that in fact it is his documents and property. V'chein ha'isha, so too a woman, she nosas v'nosenes b'soch habayis, she's very involved in the business of the house. V'amra, and she says, sheli hein, these are my properties, these are my documents, shenafuli mibeis avi abba, that I got from my paternal grandfather, or mibeis avi ima, or my maternal grandfather, aleha lavi raya. She has to bring a proof. Now, Rashbam says, referring to an almana here, so she's widowed, so there's no husband in the picture here. So we see this is a clear braisa, that we pass like Rav, that alav, the older brother, alav lahavi raya. So the Gemara says, "My v'chein." What does it mean v'chein when it comes to the isha? And so to an isha, what's the hava mean? Why would you think the woman wouldn't have? Why would that be any different? So the Gemara says, "Mal the same. What would you think? Isha came into shvichah la milsa, since it's a wonderful thing for her Damri Kamatarcha Kama Yasme. People are praising her that she's really taking care of the Yisomim, she's involved in the business and all the property and the real estate. So is she really getting all this benefit from her? You would think that she wouldn't steal from the Yisomim. So she really should have full trust. She should have full trust, and because everyone trusts her. There's a Rashma who explains all this. And the Gemara says, Kamashmalan, even though you imagine that she's getting all this credit for taking care of the Yisomim and dealing with the business, still you never know. And she would have to bring a raya that in fact all these properties and documents are hers. That's what we learn from this.
Are these children hers that are being assigned, or are their husband's children?
I'm not sure. Does it say in Rashbam anywhere? I'm not sure if there's a difference. Yeah, I don't think there would be a difference, though. I don't see anything in the Rashbam about this. Okay, now if you look at Rabbeinu Rashbam for a second, the four medium wide lines down, the first word is sheshes and there's two dots. He says Rabbeinu Chananel, how do we paskin? So Rabbeinu Chananel pasak be'edim tzarch lahavi raya v'lo b'kim shar. He says we paskin even the Gemara only brings a proof that we paskin like Rav over Shmuel, but the Gemara does not answer the question: is it Rav Sheshes versus a Rav Rabba? Is it Edim versus Kim Shar? Which one is it? So Rabbeinu Chananel paskin has to be you bring a raya with Edim and not b'kim shar. Why? The ha filu Rav Sheshes, even Rav Sheshes would be mode, the raya be'edim shava yosem b'kim shar. Everybody agrees Edim is the greatest type of edus. The greatest type of raya, greatest proof. So that even Rav Sheshes agrees. So Rav Sheshes thinks also Kim Shtar works, but Rav doesn't agree to that. So therefore, you should take the lowest common denominator, which would be considered Edim, and Edim certainly works. Okay, then now the Gemara says the two dots, b'ma dvar mamurim b'machzik. Everything we've been talking about up until now, the Mishnah says, is referring to a machzik. Aval menosin matana v'hachin shechalku. But when a person gives a gift and brothers are split, so the Mishnah goes on to say that you could create a chazaka with null gadar parts by fixing the lock or building a fence or making a little ditch around the land. So the Gemara wants to know, the way the Mishnah presents it sounds like only the 3 years is shlosh shanim is considered a chazaka. But the null gadar parts is not considered a chazaka. It's just a different type of kinyan, but not a kinyan chazaka. To which the Gemara asks, Atu kol hani damrinan la b'nei chazaka ninu? Are the ones we mentioned before not considered a chazaka? Right, because the Mishnah says, the Mishnah says, when it comes to null gadar parts, kolshu harezu chazaka. It sounds like only the changing the lock and the building the fence and making a ditch, only that's considered a chazaka, implying that the first half of the Mishnah of the 3 years are not considered a chazaka. But of course, it would be called shlosha shnei chazaka. So the Gemara clarifies and says, chasur mechzer, there is something missing in this Mishnah. And the way the Mishnah is supposed to be read is as follows. V'halchi katani. B'meh dvar mamurim, when is it all true about the Shlosh Hashanim? It's a b'chazaka, a type of chazaka, sheyeshi mataina. A chazaka that has a taina, that has a claim. Kegon mocher omer lo mecharti, lokech omer lakachti. The seller denies ever selling it, and the buyer says, I bought it from you. So that's a taina. And if he has 3 years of being on the property and has eidim that he ate there for 3 years, that would be a chazaka, cheskas, Gimel Shanim. Aval, but there's a different type of chazaka which the Mishnah contrasts. Aval chazaka she'ein ima taina, a chazaka that doesn't have a taina, could go nosin matana v'achin shechalku amachzik b'nichse agir. The person gives a gift, so there's no chazaka. I'm giving you the gift right now. Or the brothers are splitting the property from Yerusha. Or in ger dies and leaves over no relatives, so the first come, first serve. Whoever gets it first makes a chazaka. In those circumstances, so we say, you don't need to establish 3 years of being there, but you need to create a chazaka immediately. So if you fix a lock and if you build a fence and then build a little ditch around it, just a small amount of it, all of that would qualify as a immediate chazaka as opposed to cheskas gimel shanim. Okay, we'll stop here. And then Mirtz Hashem will pick up tomorrow.